Can you hear the music? Oh yeah. Not everybody can hear it.
That's awesome.
It's like fight music. That little pause there, man, that little pause that goes, that just sends me over the moon. It gets me right. Just sends me, man. You know, I want to fight people when I hear it, you know. Shout out to, welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. And shout out to Senjin Boychuk for that incredible intro, outro music. You know, the countdown's on to getting him back on. It's happening sooner rather than later. We're almost there. I can feel it in my fingers. I can feel it in my toes. So shout out to him. And on this week's episode of the podcast, I'm pretty excited. You know, we've been working on this one for a little bit. We got the old man. We got Jim, host of the old man's podcast. I just call him the old man.
Yeah, just call him the old man. Yeah. Sometimes people call me Tom.
Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Tom is, look at the first letters, T-O-M.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see that. I see that.
Well,
now we're looking for a Harry.
Yeah.
Shit, man.
Man, it's great to be here, Dick. It's great to be here with you, man. Great to be here with you on the throne.
It's good to be here. It's good to have you here. I was on your podcast this morning.
Yes, you were. Yeah. And that's available for people to listen to on the download.
Yeah. You put it out almost right away.
Oh, I do. I don't waste time. I get it out there.
How long do you go live for? So you're live every Monday morning on yours. You're like, you go live with it every Monday morning.
About 2 hours. About 2 hours. Yeah.
That's not a bad amount of time, really.
No. I mean, Podbean will let me run for 2 hours. And then if I hit the 2 hour mark, they give me a 2 minute warning.
Okay.
And that means that then when that 2 minutes is up, I mean, it's like, okay, well, I mean, they cut you off. They just cut you off.
That's better than, you know, Google Meets or whatever it is. You know, Google Meets is 45 minutes or something like that, and then you gotta get out and start a new one, and then, you know, you gotta edit that all together. It's really interesting, the podcast world, man, how, you know, we there's so many different platforms out there to use and so much different technology and whatnot. Yeah. And it's all about finding what works for you and what, you know, helps. And, you know, I never really knew about Podbean. I thought it was another platform that I had to pay for on top of this one. And you know, you helped me out with that. My podcast is now streaming on Podbean officially this morning. So
awesome. I saw it. I'm going to, as a matter of fact, I'm going to listen to that episode and then I'm going to share it out. Let people know that the throne is open.
The throne is open for business. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I got involved in this, in 2019, I was a co-host with my son. He had that, you heard him at the end. You know, this is Big Rich Dog from the Dreadnought 928 podcast. That was his podcast that I was a co-host on. And he just called me one day and he says, "Hey, I need a co-host, man. I can't keep co-hosts." I had another guy just say he didn't want to do it. "Will you co-host for me?" I go, "Sure, I'll co-host for you." I go, "But I don't want you to call me Dad. I don't want you to call me, you know, I don't want you to call me Dad. I want you to," he goes, "Well, what do you want me to call you? You want me to call you Jim, Jack?" And I go, no, call me the old man. And that's when the old man was birthed. Because this podcast was Dreadnought 928 with Rich and the old man. And then that's how the old man was started. And it ran its course. And then when he ended that, I didn't have anything to do, you know, because I used to do that every morning with him 5 days a week. And then my wife goes, "Well, why don't you start your own podcast?" I thought, she goes, "You got Podbean, you know, whatever you need to do it, get started." So I started my podcast with my iPhone and earbuds.
That's all I needed.
That's all I started. And, you know, Dick, you know, going on, you listen to all this stuff that's going on in podcasting now, and it's everybody's, I think they're making it harder than what it is.
Absolutely.
You know, everybody wants this magical formula, you know, how do I do this? How do I get an audience? How do I, you know, and I go, man, just grab your phone, plug your earbuds in, and go.
Sometimes you don't even need your earbuds.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Like, man, when I first started, right, I was in a camp room up in northern Alberta. And actually, I think the first couple I was at home for. And I didn't even have earbuds or anything like that. I just had my phone. I set my phone up. The audio wasn't great. Mm-hmm. But you can hear me, you know, whatever. You know, for the first, I'm going to say the first 70 episodes of this podcast, you know, we based off of, you know, how the cell service was wherever I was, right? If I had to go move around in the middle of the podcast to try and get good service to try to pick you back up, we lost our feed a lot. I would leave, the guests would leave, you know. It's been 2 years, you know, and you know, I said this morning on your podcast, you know, there was a lot of trial and error, and you know, we're at that point now, or so I thought until last week's episode. You know, I'm at home right now. I'm resting up. I broke my leg. We're on week six before I get it looked at. It's got to get looked at after 6 weeks. They just said no wait on it for 6 weeks. We're on week 5 or 6, and I thought, you know, I'm at home in the middle of the city. The Wi-Fi is great. Let's go. You know what? I had more technical difficulties in the basement of my house over the last than I had, you know, for so long. You know, I've had to cancel 2 podcasts outright because we just couldn't figure it out. We couldn't get it done. You know, we get 19 minutes in and the audio would shit the bed or the this week's episode, which comes out tomorrow, I had to do so much editing on it to get it to sound good, to get, you know, take out all that lagging. I took about, you know, 20 minutes worth of podcast out. So, you know, nothing important, of course, but, you know, here we are in the middle of the city, and you know, so far so good. We're 7 minutes in here, and you know, your picture's good, my picture's good, the audio's great. We're doing fine. You know, it's just the first year and a half of this podcast, man. I'm telling you, like, I wanted to bang my head off the table quite a bit, and it was part of the fun. It was part of the trip, you know.
Oh yeah, I love the process. Yeah, the
process, man. It's a journey, you know.
I was having problems because I do all my shows through the Podbeam webpage. I do it, you know, with my laptop, and I do it through their page. I don't do it through my phone. And I was having problems with the, you know, internet connections and that kind of stuff. And I was having the cable guy come out, and he was looking at my TV and that kind of stuff. And I was complaining to him. I go, yeah, I'm having trouble with my podcast cable. I mean, with the audio and all this and that going in and out. He goes, well, are you using Wi-Fi? I go, yeah. He goes, why? I go, because everybody uses Wi-Fi. He goes, hardwire that thing into your modem. You won't have any more problems. And I did. He goes, here, Ethernet. Do the Ethernet. And I did. And I haven't had problems since. I got rid of the Wi-Fi.
The Wi-Fi is finicky, right? Technology, the more there is, the more moving parts there is, the more there are to break, right?
That's why I don't do audio. That's why I don't do videos. I've been doing it the same way for almost 5 years. I don't change nothing. Shonda, co-host this morning, she goes, hey, Podbeam's got this new thing where, you know, the co-host, they can, if you turn this in and that in, they can automatically get it. I go, no, I ain't doing nothing.
Fix it, right?
Yeah, I'm just leave it like it is.
Yeah. You want to, your show is doing great. You're doing great. You know, nothing is messing up for you. You know, just keep going, doing what you're doing, right? Same with, you know, with me, right? The picture works for me. The video works for me. I am a content creator on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. I thrive off video, right?
Yeah.
So it works for me, right? So the thing is, when I'm doing it, when people are listening back, they can hear our voices, right? But they can't see, you know, the reactions in our eyes and our hands. Like, I'm talking with my hands right now, right?
Right, right.
So we're talking about something funny that I'm showing you, or we're describing something, and they don't want to, they can't visualize that in their head by the sound. They'll go look for it. It's somewhere on the internet. They'll find it. They'll find what they need, right? And, you know, that's sort of been, you know, it's worked for me, right? So yeah, it's been, I know what you mean. I couldn't go not doing video and you couldn't go to video, right? And that's two different shows, two unique styles, right?
I just don't want that. Because see, I am not technically intelligent. I am lacking in technology terribly, you know. I mean, I have progressed a lot. I have grown so much, especially in the last year and a half, because I got this, I bought an audio interface, good mics. I got a recording sound software. I mean, I got all this stuff, but I didn't know how to use any of it. And I've always wanted to do music. I always wanted to do music shows, but I didn't know how to. You know, I'm taking music off my phone, and it sounds, most people that do music shows, they sound like crap.
Yeah.
You know, they really sound like crap. So I didn't want to do that. And so I started learning my Studio One software for my Presonus interface. You know, I started learning how things work. I learning how to do sound, mix stuff. And I told my wife, we refer to my wife as Grammy on the podcast. I was telling her, because she comes in, she goes, "Oh my God, you're doing so good. I can't believe it." You know, because I'll edit something. Something messes up. So I go in there, I edit, I take it out, I boot it together. And I, you know, can you tell where I did this? And she goes, "No." So anyway, she goes, you've gone from not knowing, not even beginning to be a sound man, to now you're a little baby sound man. Now you're a toddler sound man. You're starting to do stuff. But it's all fun. I love the process. The process is where it's at. If you can't enjoy the process, you don't want to, don't bother with podcasts.
Yeah. Oh man, it is, you know, that's why most podcasts fail, right? Because people can't enjoy the process. They want results now. Right. And, you know, believe it or not, not succeeding is a result. Right. And you got to just look at it. Right. There's beauty in the failure. Right. And, you know, that's what I said on your podcast this morning. You know, how much shit can you throw at the wall and have none of it stick before you just keep going and something eventually sticks. Right. Like, I believe, I don't know if you remember who Ed the Sock is. He was that talking hand puppet from TV. He was a socky, very vulgar, kind of funny, you know, from back in the day, Much Music. Anyway, it was like late 90s, early 2000s. And I had him on the podcast.
Oh, nice.
Like episode 11. And he told me trying is half the fun. You know, I really sat back, and I think it only hit me recently just how much work it is, right? Like I always knew it was a lot of work. But, you know, when I start explaining it, you know, from the time I reach out to somebody to the time I get them on the podcast, it's sometimes like a year.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to come on my podcast? Yeah, absolutely. I'm down. Let's find the time. I keep reaching back out. It didn't work out for you this time. Hey, it works for me. Does it work for you? No. Eventually the stars align. We get each other. That could be a year or more, right?
So yeah, far, it took us a while. Took you and me a while to hook up.
Yeah. And then there are times where, you know, okay, cool. Now we're sitting here, we're recording, and boom, it's recorded. Okay. Well, I try to keep 4 to 5 weeks ahead of the time. So now you're not being out for 4 or 5 more weeks, but there's a whole bunch of editing I got to do in there. So I edit, you know, I listen to it back. I edit it some more. I listen to it back again. I listen to it back to find teaser trailers. Then I throw it out there. And then I listen to it back again when it comes out, so I can hear, you know, what everyone else is going to hear, you know, right from the source, right? Man, that's a lot of work, right? And if you're not getting results, if you're getting barely any downloads, if you're not seeing what you want to see, it's very disheartening. And, you know, honestly, to me, I don't look at it that way anymore. I don't look at it as, oh, it only got this many downloads. I do it because I want to have the conversation. I enjoy what we're doing. And that's all. The results have been there. Don't get me wrong. The results have been there. But there have been episodes where I put out that are like, wow, you know, that didn't do good, right? But that's within the first couple of hours, first 24 hours, right, that I look at. The podcast is a long game, right? Like, how many people have I discovered over since I've been off? I've been on TikTok Live a lot more, and I've discovered a whole bunch of new people, right? I'm bumping into new people because I'm there now, right? I'm there. I have the time. So I'm in that space, and we get to talk, and like, hey, I've never seen you around before. Well, usually I'm on, but later at night, or I'm just putting videos out, right? So they're like, oh, you got a podcast. Yeah, well, what's it about? Here it is. Well, right now I got a woman who's a pilot truck driver, and she's doing nothing but driving up and down the highway. Shout out to Harbinger. She's doing nothing but driving up and down the thing. My downloads are going crazy right now because she's listening to every episode.
Oh, yeah,
right. And yeah. And then she's telling friends about it. And then other people have listened to. So the podcast is getting downloads. But if this episode doesn't do good right now, just wait 6 months. That
oh, yeah.
Off, right.
Yeah, you can't judge it on now. I tell people, especially podcasters that are starting, I go, forget numbers. Don't look at numbers.
Yeah.
You know, just stay true to who you are and what you want your podcast to be and just do podcasts.
Yeah.
I go, numbers are like the waves, like ocean waves. They come in, they go out.
Yes.
You know, and you got to just understand it. You know, well, I don't have any followers. Not now, but nope. They'll come in and then the following numbers will drop. Downloads will come in, download numbers will go out. I mean, you got to flow with it because yep. There's nothing consistent, you know.
Yeah.
These people that get I was an inspector. That's my line of work. Quality control, quality assurance. Numbers, everything was numbers, you know. What do we got for rejects? How much good stuff's going, you know, and you know what's acceptable, what's not acceptable? Numbers, numbers, numbers. So I am a numbers guy, and yes, I do look at my numbers, but they're not do or live. I mean, they're not, you know, I don't, you know, do or die by numbers. I just don't, you know. I could do a show that only has maybe 10 downloads. Like you said, I could have 10 downloads. Yeah, all right, fine. That's good.
That's,
you
know, 10 people that didn't hear it before, right?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, you know, maybe a month or so down the road, all of a sudden I go back and check, and it's like now that show that had 10 downloads two months ago is now up at like 100.
Yeah.
100 downloads. Whoa! It's because people find you, and then they want to hear more, and they go through your library of stuff you have, and yep. You guys, you just got to flow with it and don't get discouraged. You got to have fun.
Yep. And you got to also have more, right? Because if nothing worse, no, there's nothing worse for me when I'm finding a podcast and I get into it and like 8 episodes later, there's just no more, right? Like, you know, there's no more of this. I have a buddy who's been trying to get season 2 going of his podcast for 2 years now, right? I got really into it. And I keep pushing him. I'm like, hey, man, let's go. I'll be your first guest on season 2. I'm here. He just needs to be pushed. He just needs to get that bug back in him, right? And he knows that. And I keep calling him. I'm like, man, when are we doing episode 1, season 2? I'm here, man. I want to listen to more of your podcasts. And I know when we record this, they're just going to go off on a tangent. You're going to record, right? And that's, you know, that's what I'm hoping happens. It's like watching a TV show right now. You know, I'm watching Halo on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
Halo doesn't have any more episodes after the end of season 2. They stopped making them. They canceled the show, right? Well, that's a bummer, right? Now what am I going to do, right? So now I got to go do something else. You lose that audience. It could be a while before you get them back, right? So, you know, you got to keep that audience. You got to reel them in, entertain them, make them want to stay, and then keep them, right?
Yeah, I was trying to look and see where I'm at on shows. The show we did today was show 1,117, I believe.
That's wow.
Good. But that's not counting all the other little things I do. That's not counting my music shows. That's just the morning show.
Yeah.
And I've got, if you don't mind me throwing some numbers at you here.
Do it.
I've got 2,342 live hours that I've got.
2,000. How many? Say that again.
2,342 live hours.
That's a lot of hours. That's about a year. Man, you're putting in full-time work there.
Yeah. Well, see, this podcast started out being 5 days a week, 5 days a week, 5 live shows a week, Monday through Friday. I've got, and keep in mind, I've been doing this almost 5 years, but I've got, let's see here. This is another thing about Podbean. Podbean keeps good stats. I've got 70,216 listeners.
Wow.
That's how many listeners I've had in this time. Engagement points between the listeners and the show, people engaging, coming in and talking and all that. It's all on a point thing. I've got 836,724 engagement points. Unbelievable.
Good for you. That's good for you, man.
But I got, oh yeah, here it says live shows, 1,621 live shows. I've gone live for 1,441 days. Man.
Wow. Good for you, man. It's a lot of work. And you're showing up, which is like half the battle. Not even, it's 90% of the battle is showing up, being there, right? And that's it, dude. Like, see, you know, a lot of people don't get that.
The one thing for me and my podcast is like I was alluded to with you before when we talk is, nothing I do is scripted. I do not have a script. Okay. We do not talk. It's just like you come over to the house. Hey, I'm going to go have a cup of coffee with the old man over at his house. Oh, okay. So when you hit the door, I don't go, okay, Dick. All right, Dick, here's your script. We're going to read. This is what we're going to talk about. No, yeah. You come in, we sit down, we start talking. We drink some coffee. We have some laughs. We goof around. We poke fun at each other. You know, we banter back and forth until it's like, all right, I got to go to work. I'm out of here.
Yeah, that's same as mine. Same as mine.
That's my show.
Most of the time it's last minute. Like I asked you if you were free an hour ago for today. And you said, yeah. And like, I had no idea we were doing this today.
And I'm not scratching my nose because I'm using Coke. I've got these mustache hairs that go in my nose.
I understand that all too well. I've been pulling them out all morning. Yeah. So you were saying you were in quality control, eh? Like you, when we were talking, you were in non-destructive testing, NDT.
That's right. I was in. I started out as a regular mechanical inspector, checking stuff using micrometers and measuring tools and checking things to blueprints. I did that for about 13 years, I guess. And then I had a knock at the door at my house and some guy goes, hey, you want to change jobs? What do you got? He goes, we need someone to run a non-destructive testing lab. I go, what's non-destructive testing? I had no clue. But it was a little tiny lab at an aluminum foundry and they wanted somebody to go in there and do x-rays on castings and dye penetrant surface inspection and internal inspection. So I went, I don't know anything about that. He goes, we'll get you. We'll teach you and we'll get you up to speed. So yeah. And so from 1986 until I retired in 2013, I did non-destructive testing. I've been an industrial radiographer looking at welds. I've probably looked at hundreds of miles of welds, x-rayed them, looked at pipelines, fabrication shops, you know, structural inspection, bridge work, aircraft, aerospace. I just looking at everything. I've dealt with the FAA and I've dealt with the shipping codes and yeah, just inspect. I loved it. I love looking at stuff and telling people that's crap. That's no good. but that's what I did. Yeah. I was an inspector. I still am to this day. I just look at things. I'm the guy that will walk into your house and you know, hey, what's going on? Hey, this picture's off a little bit. You know, I'll be squaring stuff up and looking and all that. Yeah, but I had a lot of fun. I was a quality control manager at a multi-million-dollar titanium foundry where we made aerospace castings for titanium parts. Parts going into Pratt & Whitney, Rolls-Royce, General Motors, big engines, big power plants, you know, for jets and all that stuff, military and commercial, you know. Chances are if you jump in an airline, an airliner like, and they're flying a Boeing plane or an Airbus, probably has something to do with some of the parts that are in those engines.
Wow.
You know, it's, yeah, it's just a lot of fun. I just had it. And I don't want to brag, but I was good. I was good at what I did. Inspecting is an easy, easy job. I trained a lot of people. And I say, look, your job's easy. It's either good or it's not. You have a code book that tells you what is acceptable. If it meets the code, it's good. It ships. But if it doesn't meet the code, it don't go anywhere.
You're the guy we all hate on the ground.
Oh, yeah. But I used to always tell everybody, hey, don't hate me. Hate the code book. Yeah. You're doing the code book. I was on a bridge in California, and this welder was giving the quality control guy, you know, the guy that worked for the contractor, giving him a hard time because he was telling him that his welds wasn't any good. And he goes, you don't know what you're talking about. You inspectors, blah, 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 blah. He goes, all right, I'll be right back. So he came and got me, the quality assurance guy that works for the owner of the bridge. You know, there's always a level of, you know, chain of command.
Yeah.
And so I go out there and I go, what's going on? He goes, well, these welds aren't any good. And he says that they are. And I go, well, let's look at the code book then. So it was the AWS, American Welding Society Bridge Code. So I open up the code book and I go, well, it says right here. And I'm reading verbatim. Blah, 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 blah. That's how you have to do it. And the welder's looking at me like, I go, okay, wait a minute. So I closed the book and then I started punching the code book. USOB, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're doing. You need to change this code book because this welder says so. He's better at doing this than you are. Then I opened it up and went, I read it again. I went, it didn't change its mind. You still got to do it like that. I go, let me do it one more time. And I beat on it again. And I looked at it. I go, nope. And then I went, hey, you either do it the way the code says or you're out of here. And he goes, man, you're crazy. You're crazy, man. I'm going to change it. I'll dig them out. But you're crazy. I've never seen anybody do that. But inspection really is that easy. It's either meets the print, meets the code books, or it just doesn't ship, you know. Yeah. And that's what I did. That's what I did. I was good at my job. I had a reputation. I had a, you know, people like seeing me pull up on a site because that's how I was. It was either going to be meet the code books and go, or it wasn't, you know. And the welders, the individual welders loved me too. I walked into a shop in England. I worked in England for 2 years, overseeing the stuff that's going on in California's bridges for Caltrans in California.
And that happened in England. So stuff in England was coming over to, hey man, I think there's a word for that, right? It's called trade, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I'd walk into a shop and, you know, I'm just walking through, just watching. A lot of my job was just watching people, you know, and a welder would go, I go, yeah, what's up? He goes, man, they want me to weld this like this, this, and this, and I know it's not right. And I go, well, let's look at the code. And I looked at it and go, yeah, you're right. It's not right. I go, well, you're going to have to tear all that out. He goes, I know, but I can't tell you. They get mad at us if we say anything. I go, that's all right. I deal with those people. That's why I'm here. And he goes, well, don't let anybody know I told you. I go, I don't need to tell anybody anything, you know. I just go, and then I called the foreman over. Hey, look, see what he's doing here and this and that. I go, yeah, you can't do that. You got to tear that all out and be done with it. You fix it now. Fix it now or they're not going to ship, and then you'll have to fix it later when it's a bigger project. Okay, all right, we'll get it done. Yeah. Because I had the reputation that I never accepted anything that was bad, and I never rejected anything that was good. I just wouldn't do that, you know. And so they knew that. So they go, okay, get it. And then as I'm walking out, the welder's going, thanks, man. Thanks. Most people want to do it right. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
I worked for my dad when I was younger, right? My dad hired me on when I was 11 years old. He owned his own metal roofing company, right? And, you know, free/cheap labor, you know, I'm here, right? Weekends and holidays and stuff. And he paid me $50 a day, which was 11 years old, man. Give me that 50 bucks a day, right? And, you know, I had a couple grand saved up by the time, you know, I reached, you know, the end of middle school and whatnot. And by the time I got to high school. And so my dad, it got to the point where I wasn't just the ground guy anymore. My dad wanted me to, like, I was in, what, grade 11 or 12 at this point. My dad was like kind of grooming me to be the guy to take over, right? Like, he's like, I'm not going to be here, you know, and I wanted to, I wasn't ready for that. I could barely remember to feed myself. Right. So, right. So, you know, he called me over and he's like, I'll give you $100 extra for the whole day. At this point, I think I was making hourly, but he's like, I'll give you $100 extra for the whole day if you can put this whole side of the roof on by yourself today in one day. And it's metal shingles, right? So there's like a pattern and they got to go on a certain way and you got to lock them in. And I'm like, all right, sounds good. Boy, did I learn that day. You know, I was having fun. I was cutting, I was putting it all together. At the end of the day, I'm like, nailed it. Got it done. My dad calls me down. He's like, time for your quality inspection check. Right? He pulls me down on the ground. He looks up. He's like, all right. He's like, look up here. He's like, you did pretty good. He's like, you did a lot better than I thought. But one of them is out, which means the whole thing is out. Right? And it was the one in the middle and it was unlocked. He's like, tomorrow morning, you failed. You don't get your money. Tomorrow morning, you climb back up on the roof. You tear them all down. You start again.
Oh
man. You know what? I never, ever did that again. You know, no. I got it done the next day and he made more bets with me like that later and it ended up costing him money. But like, you know, I got him done and I was always there to check. And I learned something about that day. My name's going on that. That is, when people see that, they think of Dick, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not what they think of when they think of Dick. But like, you know, like, so yeah, you know, when they look up there and they see that work, they're like, that Dick Frost did that, right? So, you know, and just like the just like my podcast here, right? You know, like, it's blue collar, it's rough around the edges. We've had some issues, but you know, I would like it to be, you know, as good as I can get it before I throw it out there. I don't want to just like, you know, I could have done better and just slap it up anyways, right? This is my baby now, right? And you know, we're doing pretty good with it. So,
you know what that's called, Dick?
Pride.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know how many people don't have pride in what they do nowadays? Tons of people. Yeah.
I see it all the time. I work in the oil and gas industry. I see it everywhere.
You know, and the problem is that in order to get pride in your work, you have to make a mental decision that you are going to be good at what you do. You know, I'm going to be good at what I do. I don't like this job. I hate this job. Okay. But I'm going to be good at it. I'm going to be good at it. I'm going to be the best there is. I'm going to be the best there is. And then next thing you know, you enjoy doing it because you're good at it. And you're good at it, and it shows, and now people are relying on you. They know they're going to get a good product from you. And, you know, you've grown, and the process has birthed pride in you, pride of in your work, you know, pride in your work. And we just don't have that. It's not permeating through the workforce like it was when I was a young man.
There's a reason for that. Same when I was younger too. I just had a job that I hated for the last 7 years. I hated it, right? But I needed money and I was good at it. I could do it. I was, you know, like I put pride into it, but I hated it. I didn't want to be there. I was miserable. Mentally, it drained the shit out of me. Right. But there is a reason why, you know what? Yes. Pride is something, but it's hard to be, take pride in something you're doing when no one around you is proud of it themselves. Your bosses don't even want to be there. Your bosses are not treating you. That we all think that there's a big problem with this generation of worker, right? This generation of worker might not be the problem, right? So the boomers, I don't know. How old are you?
Well, let's see. My first pet was a T-Rex. No, I'm 72 this year.
So you're a boomer.
I'm a boomer, baby.
Boomer. And it's nothing against you. A lot of boomers are great, but most of them are just shit. They were shit parents and they were really bad grandparents, right? And it's nothing against all boomers. It's not all of them, right? It's not all of them.
If people are watching this on the video, they're looking at... Look at how shocked the old man is. No, I understand what you're saying.
But so boomers, right? They had it very differently. Housing was affordable, right? Everything was more, life in general was affordable. Now you could show up to work, put your nose to the ground, do your work, and the company would take care of you, right? And you tried to instill that into the millennials. The boomers had children, which are now millennials, right? And I'm a millennial. And, you know, for the most part, yeah, the millennials, we put our nose to the ground and we tried to do that. We tried to, you know, we tried to pull that ball and chain behind us and whatnot. And, you know, we did what we were told to do, right?
Are you millennials or are you Gen X?
I'm millennial. I was born in 89. My dad is the end of the boomers. My dad was born in 64.
I always get that confused.
Yeah. Oh. So I think the boomers are actually like one of the largest generations there is. So they fathered or parented the Gen Xers and the millennials.
We're dying off.
Dying off. Yes. So, yeah, what's that?
It's my list.
Am I?
What year were you born?
89.
Okay. So yes, you are a boom. You are a millennial.
Yeah, I'm a millennial. But
between you and I are Gen X's.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Gen X's are, you don't fuck with a Gen X.
That's my, like, those are my kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, your kids, yeah, your kids are, would also be, so like you're at the beginning, like you're sort of at the beginning or the you know, the front of the boomers, where the back of the boomers, my dad is one of the last boomers born in 64. Mm-hmm. And his kids are millennials, where the boomers at the beginning of that generation would have had Gen X children. Yeah,
they were almost Gen Xers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're like, cool. I'm on the cusp too. I'm kind of like, I'm an elder millennial, as you want to call it, I guess, or whatever.
Well, I am a proud in the middle boomer, baby.
In the middle boomer. So the millennials, we showed up, we put our head to the ground and we grinded it out, right? And the company didn't take care of us. We can't retire. We're not going to be able, the old age pension is going to be dried up by the time we get there. Housing is beyond reach at this point. Food is astronomically expensive. A car is what a house payment used to be. You got the Gen Z's coming up behind us and we're telling them, work hard, put your nose to the grind, do as you're told and the company will take care of you. And they're looking at us like, that didn't work out so well for you, did it? We're going to go our own way. Right. And that's where we're at right now. And coming out of the pandemic as well, you know, we've learned a lot about coming out of the pandemic where, you know, so many people went from being, you know, like essential to expendable overnight. Right. And when you tell a whole generation of workers that they're expendable and you don't need them, and you know, you're killing morale. You're just killed a workforce for you, right? And that's where we're at. That's where we're at right now. You know, a lot of people want to blame the workers, but like you.
Well, think about it. When I was in the workforce, who were my supervisors? Who was I working for? I was
silent generation.
Silent generation. Yep. Yeah. And then, when my kids hit the workforce, who are they working for? Silent, but boomers.
Yeah.
You know, we always work for the last generation. So, but I would always get ticked and offended when people say that about boomers, because I based it on how I was, you know, I always thought I was a good, great worker. And I always thought I was a good boss too. I took care of my people, made sure I took care of. But you know, every generation has that. Every generation has the people that are good, but the good people get thinner and thinner. You know, there are not so many of them around. These young kids now, I couldn't work for who they're working for.
See, you used your back. They're using their brains, right? Like, you know what I mean? Hypothetically speaking, right? Like you might have picked a box up using your back, not your legs. Well, they're like, you know what? I'm going to go get the crane. I'm going to go get the loader, right? So, like, you know, they're using more of what's around them to do the work for them, right? And call it what you will. Maybe they'll live longer. I don't know, you know? Like, it's you're doing a pretty good job of living longer yourself. So, who knows?
That would be fitting for my life. What happened to the old man? He died doing on the throne.
Yeah, no, Dick Frost challenged him to go lift a box up, and that was
he died on the throne.
It's just where we're at in the workforce, right? I've heard that analogy a lot, where you know you ran or you walked so I could run, so the next generation could drive, right? And yeah. I heard that analogy a lot, and you know it's essentially the same as you know. Hard times create strong men, strong time create good times create weak men create hard times. And then, you know, weak men, hard times create strong men again, right?
Just so a big circle, yeah.
Yeah, we're just in the hard times created by weak men phase right now. And then we'll get back to the hard men, you know, we all like a hard man. So, you know.
But yeah. I think another part of the equation, though, is how were the generations taught? I mean, because I'm growing up under the silent people, and they were, I'm thinking about my dad, my grandpas and all that. They were no nonsense, man.
Yeah.
You had a job to do. You did it. And it better be right, or you'll be out there all night doing it, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and then you had to get it done, you know, and they expected. And then plus two, when it was got done, you got a pat on the back. Good job. Come on, let's go have some dinner now. Let's go eat. You know, good. But, you know, it's like, are these, you know, what kind of training are these guys getting? You know, the newer generations, do they have people patting them on the back? I firmly believe on patting people on the back. You know, I drill that in everybody that I train or I instruct. You got somebody doing work, you pat them on the back, you say, good job. Good job. It doesn't take any energy to say good job, you know. Well, what if it wasn't a good job? What if they didn't do a good job? You can always find something good that they did, you know. Yeah. You can always find something that good that they did, you know. But, you know, it's just, and how are we training the people, I think is part of that equation.
Absolutely.
I don't think there's any one thing you can point your finger at, but there's just a combination of things. And I think the younger, I got a 15 year old kid that comes out and works in my yard. Yeah. Comes out, loves
pat him on the back.
He loves plants. He likes growing stuff. He likes working with plants, he's not afraid to get his hands dirty.
You're in Portland. He really does like plants, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Yeah. But you know, I had him out on Saturday. So Sunday I get up and I go out and I'm looking around. I'm going, dang nabbit, why didn't he do that? Why didn't he finish that over there? And then I'm going, you know, and I'm just thinking, you know, it's, you got to be, you just, he's 15. Instruct him, you know.
Yeah, that more coaching, less criticism.
Yeah, you got to make sure that he understands that, you know, when you're being paid to do a job and you get a direction, make sure it's all done before you leave. You know, that makes you look good. And then I started thinking, why did I give him a raise?
Man. Yeah. You were saying on your podcast, right? You have like the morning show, and then you have like the music shows and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I recently started a new part of my a new segment of my podcast, I guess. That, you know, within the last 3 months here, that I've noticed a big difference in, like, you know, how much attention or downloads and traffic the show gets. And it's called the Morning Dookie, you know? So, you know, you're on the throne with Dick right now, right? You're here. You're here for the long haul, you know, the big load, right? So, you know, so and in the Morning Dookie, I try to do it a couple times a week where, you know, it's 20 minutes, you know, up to 20 minutes long. We just have a little dookie, you know? You don't want to be sitting there too long getting them red marks on your knees. It's just jump and go, right? Yes.
Jump and go.
Yeah, quick 20 minutes where we have a little chat about whatever. And then, you know, it's okay, cool. Let's leave it at that. If you want to take it further, we'll go further with it, right? We'll do a bigger one later on. But yeah, you know, a couple times a week we do the Morning Dookie. And, you know, I just restarted it again. I stopped doing it for a couple months. And a couple days ago, I had another episode of the Morning Dookie come out, right? And we talked about the cost of living. And
I love the name.
Yeah, the Morning Dookie, you know, like, yeah. Why not? Why not? It started when I took that picture. I showed you the picture of me sitting on the toilet.
Yeah.
My new logo. There was someone left a muster point sign behind and it was up. But then there was a toilet down on the ground below it. And my boss is like, if you don't do something with this for your social medias and your podcasts, you're fired. Right. So I took a picture, of me sitting on the toilet. And my wife's like, you need to pull your pants down. So I pulled my pants down, took a picture of it.
I posted, wives always see that fine detail.
Right. And I posted on social media. Someone sends it back to me black and white with On the Throne podcast with Dick. It looks so cool. And they're like, there's your new cover art for your podcast, right? And I'm like, okay, cool. Where I got the morning dookie from was in that video. I'm like, so I'm just sitting here taking my morning dookie, right? And and I said that in the video. And then, you know, I'm like, the morning dookie, I got to do something with that, right? Yeah. And actually, I think it was Gord from the Second Act podcast that came up with that. Shout out to him. If you haven't listened to the Second Act podcast, you got to get on that. He's been on
Second Act podcast.
Yeah, the Second Act podcast. Gord actually, back to numbers there. And having fun. Gord actually, he was the first time the podcast ever did a live stream. And we had five people in there. And I'm like, wow, that sucks, right? And I'm like, wow, sorry, there's only five people in here. And he's like, are you kidding me? That's great. If five people were sitting in front of us right now, we'd be overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Right? Five people's a lot. So Gord changed my whole mindset on that. And that guy's podcast is phenomenal. Incredible. Let me tell you that much.
I'm going to check him out.
Do it. Yeah, he's had a lot of good people on there for sure.
So what about the dookie?
The dookie. Gord's been on the dookie. You and me, we could do a morning dookie. We'll do a morning dookie.
Do a dookie, man. Let's do a dookie.
All right, we'll do a dookie. It'll have to be a morning dookie now. It's afternoon here now. So,
well, you got to have a dookie in the afternoon. I'm an old man. I'm taking dookies all the time.
All right, what do you – let's think about something we think about while we're taking a dookie in the afternoon, and we'll talk about it here. So what's something, you know, you're usually sitting there, you know, you're an old man now. You're sitting on the dookie, you know, you got to – okay. What's something we got to think about? Did we leave the stove on? Is the garage door open? Is someone going to steal it? We could think of something, you know, that what's in your garage. All right. So you're taking a dookie, you left the garage door open. You're in a really bad neighborhood. What's in the garage? What do you have in your garage that means something to you that could mean something to someone else walking by?
I've got all kinds of stuff in there.
Okay.
I've got tools in there. You know, I've got all kinds of tools in there.
What's a specific tool if someone took? Now,
I mean, if they took my impact driver, I'd be hot. I'd be hot to trot. My impact driver or my any of my batteries and battery chargers, you know, because the stuff is it's electric driven stuff.
Yeah,
I'd be mad about that. And I got my toolboxes sitting right there. I'll tell you one thing. You know, this wasn't in my garage, but I burn wood through the wintertime here.
Okay.
And, you know, and I got my woods out. I got a wood box on this north side of the house. I got wood stacked over here in my backyard, next to my one shed, and it's just all open, you know, but there's times I think about, did someone take wood off that pile? It looks like I'm missing wood on that pile, you know? And the reason I think that is because one time I came home, me and my wife, we pull into the house, and it's at dark. It's kind of nighttime. And there's a guy standing there by my wood pile. And he looks shocked. And I jump out of the truck. Hey, what's up? What do you need? What's going on? He goes, you using this wood? And I go, well, not now, I'm not, but maybe tomorrow. Okay, all right. Well, all right then, never mind. And I'm going, this guy was stealing wood from me. I'll think about that, you know, what's going on. I hear a noise outside. It's like someone's staking wood. What's going on? You know, taking my tools. I don't loan tools anymore to anybody.
No,
I don't loan anybody. I got a sign in my shop that says, you want to borrow tools, go next door.
Don't bother knocking either.
I'm not lending any tools out. But
Jim, I got a question for you.
Okay.
You know what viscosity is?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Okay. In your own words, what's viscosity?
Viscosity is a measurement of thickness, like you have oil and it's thickness. And viscosity is actually a measurement. It measures how thick a substance is by putting this tool in there and spinning it around. And the drag that the liquid causes on this tool measures, and that measure is the velocity, the viscosity of what you're checking. So absolutely. the thinner the oil, the easier it's going to spin inside there. The thicker the oil, the more tension it's going to take to get that armature to spin around, you know, and it has to meet, it has to go for so long to get a proper measurement of viscosity. That's why your oils come in like a 20, 40 oil. That means that it's got a viscosity of 20 when it's cold and 40 when it's hot. In other words, those oils actually are thinner when they're cold than they are when they heat up, because cold oil isn't conducive for getting into bearings and that kind of stuff. Thick oil won't do that. So they make a dual viscosity oil, believe it or not. And then it's actually thinner when it's cold. That way everything gets oiled as the engine heats up, the oil gets thick. So
that's the Mudman's going to love this. So where I'm going with this is the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman.
Oh.
And deals in viscosity, right? Uh-huh. Yeah, on a drilling rig. You know, the thickness of the fluid going down hole. Sometimes you got to make it more thick. Sometimes you got to make it less thick. And he's got special tools that help with that. Right. So the Mudman, for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs, you know, the Mudman deals in the thickness of your load. Right. And as an old man, you know, you ain't got too much
thickness. Hey, I tell you, like, sometimes my loads aren't too thick.
As a man in my mid 30s, my loads are never thicker than they are right now, and that is facts. Like I have gotten some equipment from the Mudman, and we've tried it. So all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs, visit www.mudmanmarket.com. And I love that guy. You know, the Mudman has been ride or die for this podcast and for over a year and a half now. And if it wasn't for him, when he saw me struggling with my audio, he got me a headset and a microphone to help out, you know, and it really helped. And then, you know, this past summer, almost a year ago now, he took the podcast to the next level by getting me this MacBook Pro. And that's where I record now, not on my phone, off my phone. Cause that was an issue we were having too. On call 24/7 dispatch calling in, using my phone to record, you know, it would cut the feed. Right. And have that. Now the phone can go off. I can ignore it and I can continue on, recording on the laptop, and I do all the editing here and everything, man. And you know what? It's been a tool. It has been the greatest tool I have ever had for this podcast so far. So
that's great, man. That's awesome stuff. I love it when fans appreciate doing what you're doing and they try to help you out when they see you're struggling in that. You know, my logo, the logo I have is that was given to me by a friend, and if you're going to show this on, if you're going to show this video here, that logo right there, that was given to me by a friend. I turned it into a LED sign. I had a friend give me my music. He just says, "Hey, here, I got something for you. Do you like country music?" I go, "Sure. What is it?" And he goes, "Well, I got this little opening for you for your show." I go, "Really?" He goes, "Yeah. You know what? I'm going to play a little bit for you. I feel like doing this.
Listen to it. Let's listen to this.
Let's listen to this thing.
While you're looking for that, this is what the my logo here looks like. I just changed it up a bit. You can see the background. That's what the original. I'm sitting on a toilet there. Let's see. Oh, no.
Oh.
Right here. So, hold on. Let's see if this works. No, not that one. No, this one.
Well, then I'm in the way. Yeah.
See, you can kind of see the head there. There's a toilet. I'm sitting on the toilet. We recently changed that. I can't show you what the new one looks like right here, right now. I can add it in eventually. I have not thought about doing that yet. But, so The new cover art is incredible. I'm enjoying it. The old one is still just as good. Shout out to Corso Chris, who made that for us. Owner of the Sour Moose Candy Store.
You gotta love it.
Yeah, she ships all over the place in the States and everything, and she's right here in Alberta. She's not too far from me, and if you use my code, Frost, I think it's Dick Frost 89 or 10, and you go on her website, you want some candy, you know, she'll ship it to you. She's really busy with shipping, so yeah, it's really good.
That's awesome, man.
The internet's a wild ride, man.
It is. You meet a lot of good people too.
Absolutely, it'll meet a lot of bad people too, though.
Yeah. So you want to? You want to hear that thing? You want to hear that? Hear my theme song?
Pop it up.
Oh, hold on.
Yeah, this is your intro music, right?
This is my intro music. Yeah.
It's Monday morning, and such a great day. Time to start it off in the best way. A cup of coffee and memories that will last. It's time to tune into the Old Man's Podcast.
No.
Really kind of show that people just love. Laughter and stories, all of the above. Eric and Shonda are part of the crew. And even Granny will stop in for a few. The Old Man Podcast is hard to beat. That's what'll have you fall from your seat. Trivia stories and great interviews. Sometimes they even slip in some news.
I'm jealous. That's it in part.
I'm jealous. I've been trying to get lyrics added to my intro outro music forever. It's going to happen. We're working on it. But, like, man, that's where I want to take that to, you know, on my podcast. That's how I want to take it to the next level with lyrics to my intro outro.
See, he sent me he asked me during the show. He said, do you like country music, old man? I go, yeah, I like country music. I goes, oh, okay. And then I get an email from him. He goes, listen to this. See if you like it. So I opened it up. I tell you, man, I was almost in tears. I couldn't believe it, man. I go, oh my God. And he says, I wrote the lyrics and I put it into an AI thing saying country music, and the AI did the song, but they're his lyrics. And I was like, whoa. Wow. And then I took the song and I played it for a friend of mine. And let me see if I can do this for you. I did it for a friend of mine. And she put a video to it.
Oh, you know, no.
So as the song's going, let me see if I can get the song to play.
In the best way. A cup of coffee and memories that will last. It's time to tune into the Old Man's Podcast. Friendly kind of show that people just love. Laughter and stories, all of the above. Eric and Shonda are part of the crew. And even Granny will stop in for a few. The Old Man Podcast.
So, I mean, she did that, and I was just totally blown away. You know, the work that they all put into it. And, you know, that's what, you know, if you're true to what you're doing and you love doing what you're doing and you're entertaining people are having a good time. You know, if they see you struggling about something, they'll help you out. You know, they'll just, I'm going to help Dick out. He's a good guy. You know, so.
It's good to have a community, right? It's good to have a community.
Yeah. The only thing is don't say I'm family.
families tear apart all the time. Right?
I hate it when people say, oh, we're just one big Podbean family. No. No, we're not. I'm not a family member.
you were saying earlier, like you were talking about your podcast, right? That you had one and that this is, you know, but you never talked about what your podcast was about, what you did on it. You just had one and why you started it. But like, so what do you talk about on the podcast? What goes on it?
I say, first off, let me explain our mission statement. We are anti-anger, anti-hate. We'll talk about anything and everything interesting, non-confrontational. Our mission is to get you feeling good about yourself, get you laughing and giggling and put a skip in your step. So that's what we do. We just talk about anything. You know, the only planned part of our show is I do a Podbeam promo. I do my entry music, say hi to everybody. And then after I've said hello to Eric and Shonda, then we just start talking. So what's up? What's up? What are you guys doing? What'd you do fun over the weekend? And then we just start talking. Spring's coming. So I'm sure we're going to be talking about planting plants and growing vegetables. We always seem to do that because we all like to do that. Taking care of the stuff in the yard. Shonda, tell us what's going on. She may have written an interesting piece because she's an author and a writer.
Yeah, she was saying that.
She might say, oh, well, I wrote this piece about such and such, and then we start talking. Or, you know, there's no set topic. People ask me all the time, so what's the subject? What's the subject matter? Right now we're talking about corn dogs. What's it going to be in 3 minutes? I have no idea.
Nobody knows. Stick around.
Nobody knows. The guy was in our show today, Joseph Barone. He has this podcast, Learning. I can't remember. Never remember the name of his podcast. But it's a little five-minute podcast he puts out. And he's a trainer. And he lives to learn and he learns to live. You know, and he always writes reviews in on X, and he always says, the old man's podcast never fails to amaze me. They can start out talking about movies, go to food, talk about kids, talk about plants. They can talk about space.
Well, today you were talking about the capital cities of the
capital states. Cities. We could have gotten into quantum physics. We just talk about anything and everything that we find interesting, and it's all spontaneous.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. That's the way it should be, you know, like, you know what I mean? Not in the way of, yeah, that's the way it should be. Random spontaneity, right? And that's perfect. You know, that's like mine. There are times on this podcast where, you know, I'm talking to somebody about work and, you know, we're around the same age and it gets into like, well, who's your favorite Pokemon, right? And like, you know, we talk about Pokemon for 25 minutes. We get back on the trail and talk about work again, you know, and like, that's what I love about podcasting, man. Podcast is a lot of fun. You know?
It is. I had one guy years ago, when we were closing out a show, and he goes, I've never heard anybody talk for an hour on hats.
Let's do it. I got lots.
I mean, and we just started talking about hats, you know, and that's just how we do it. We talk about kids, we talk about raising kids, we talk about crazy stuff kids do. You name it, we have probably talked about it. I told Shonda the other day, I go, I was gonna bring up and mention Murphy's Law. Whatever can happen will happen, you know, or something like that. And I told her, I says, but I was afraid that we had already talked about it, and I wanted to make sure that it wasn't something that we had just talked about a couple of weeks ago. Because I know we had just talked about it. And she goes, well, why didn't you bring it up? I go, well, because we did talk about it. And we talked about it about 500 shows ago. We talked about it. And she started laughing. She goes, we could have talked about it again.
Nobody knows your content better than you do, right? If you start talking about it again, someone else might not remember that.
Right? Oh, that's just it.
I've always been reposting old content and moving around the internet, right? It's getting to the point now where some people probably definitely realize it's old, but like, hey, I know I can tell you exactly where that video is. I've got
listeners that could probably tell you all the stories I've tell because I tell them all the time.
Yeah.
You know, they've heard about me being a bouncer in a bar. They've heard about my inspection jobs. You know, they've heard about, you know, me, my, this, and they heard about me and Grammy traveling around in England. They've heard all the stories. As a matter of fact, I told them once, I said, I've told these stories so much that I'm at the point now where I don't know if they're real or not. Is that a real story or did I just make that up? I don't know. My sister, Big Penny, she comes in the show every now and then. And I was telling her that I said something in the show. And she goes, that's a lie. I go, what do you mean it's a lie? She goes, that didn't happen. Because I talk about when we were kids. And I go, what are you talking about? She goes, that didn't happen. She's older than I am. She goes, that didn't happen. And I go, well, so what? I go, I'm an entertainer. I mean, comedians don't tell the truth on everything they tell. Nah. I mean, I tell stories. That's my job. Whether I make them up or they're real, I might not know today.
You're a storyteller. You just
a story. I'm a storyteller. Is it real? I don't know.
Well, a lot of my videos are based off of the blue collar experience, right? Things that we experience or things that we experience or things that, you know, we've seen or heard, maybe not necessarily have happened, but it's a rumor, right? Or like, you know, from your perspective, right? Like I'll make one where, you know, like I'm at home laid up right now, right? I'm doing modified duties. The video I put out yesterday was like, when you realize modified duties is just one step away from becoming the safety guy, right? I'll show you the video. It was pretty good. I had my scissors in my hands, like I was going to cut my sweaters. Cause in the oil and gas industry in Canada, you're not allowed to wear a hoodie, right? Can get caught on some. Sure, so it's always a big thing. Whereas like the safety officer is always after you to tuck it in, or I've literally had them cut the hoodie off my hood before. Right. But I made this video.
I growed out of it, just like when I growed out of my favorite Riptor jammies. Poor Tucky, he's not cute and he got snore jammies.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, you know, like I'm no longer one of the guys anymore, right? I'm sitting here and I'm like, I'm not cute to my people anymore, right? I'm becoming part of safety. I'm the dark side, right? And then the next scene was me holding my hood up and I was cutting the hood off my sweater. Right. And, you know, it was just me joining the dark side. Right. And you know, it's something that might never happen, but every story I've ever heard about why a safety guy has ever become a safety guy is usually begins with, well, I got injured at work this one time, or I seen someone get injured at work. Right. So, you know, it's funny because, you know, they all tell the same story and here I am sitting around with an injury from work. And I'm like, oh, this is how it starts. You know, I'm sitting in my basement going squirrely, recording a podcast here. And
it's going to be a safety guy.
I'm becoming the safety officer, right? Like this is how my story begins. Well, how did you become the safety officer? Well, I got injured at work one time and you know, you just fucking join that dark circle, right? And
you know what? You know what, Dick? People get nervous when an inspector walks into a shop. You know, they don't like seeing inspectors. They really don't like seeing safety guys.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know, I never felt more love from everybody than when I walk in and behind me is the safety guy. They all love me. They don't like that safety guy. And it's like, oh, yeah, man.
Yeah. No.
But you're right. You get hurt. Next thing you know, the next thing is they figure that qualifies you to be the safety guy.
Yeah, man. I've had enough time. I could have gotten my NCSO and become a safety officer, right?
And you know what comes with the safety guy is after you become the safety guy, now all of a sudden you become the environmental guy.
Oh,
yeah, buddy.
Yeah, and they're both boys.
I remember at this one place I was working at a ceramic place. I was a quality engineer. And for some unknown reason, they decided they were going to make me a safety guy too. And I'm going, no, no, please God, don't make me a safety guy. Oh, and by the way, you're also going to be the environmental guy. No, man, you might as well just fire me because I'm not going to do this.
Yeah, no, it's pretty much, you might as well be right up there with that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But no, it's so true, man. That's true. Safety guy.
Yeah, man. Here we go. Safety guy. We got cookies. Let's go.
You know, you were saying about cutting the hoodie off. When I worked in this big manufacturing shop, you know, big machine shop and a foundry in there, I was a mechanical inspector going around. And we used to always tell people, you know, the safety guy would always get on you because you'd be standing there with your shirt tails out. Tuck that shirt tail in. Tuck that shirt tail in. You know, what are you talking about? Tuck that shirt tail in. One guy, a guy was sitting there running a lathe, and he was just sitting there. And no, I'm sorry, he was doing a drill press. He was working a drill press, and his shirt tail got caught on the drill. Oof. And it ripped his shirt off him, literally ripped his shirt off him. All he had was a collar. And it was like, well, and then you know what the safety guy goes? That's why you tuck in your shirts, people. Was he hurt? Doesn't matter. That's why you tuck in your shirts. Yeah. I seen a guy get his jeans completely ripped off him. His jeans, because he had bell-bottom jeans on and he was doing the lathe. This is the lathe guy. And he was running the tip of his jean on the shaft that's spinning, the drive shaft. He's just there daydreaming. You know, just doing this with his pants. His pants caught and wrapped around that thing, ripped his pants right off him. And it's like, that's why you don't play with those drive shafts. The safety guy had never had compassion for anybody.
Well, you know? every rule's written in blood, right? And we do know that. Yeah. We do know that, like, hey man, you know, like there's a reason why this rule exists. And, you know, you don't want to know you don't even want to hear the story about why it exists, right? You just got to know that it exists for a reason. And you could either trust that there's a reason or you're going to find out, right?
I hated safety videos. You got to sit through these safety videos. I'm going, no, man. Safety glasses. Got to have your safety. I'm sick of safety glasses. Why don't I? Next thing you know, the guy's got a broken drill or tap in the middle of his lens.
Yeah.
You know, and you go, that's why. And they're walking around showing everybody, that's why you wear your safety glasses.
When I was younger, I didn't wear my safety glasses a lot. And this eye here is a little lower than the other one. And we got a bundle of pipe come in. And I cut it open. And the banding that was holding it, I was sitting over top. It snapped up quickly, hit me in the eye. Detached my retina.
Whoa.
Yeah, detached my retina. I had to go have surgery for it. I was off work for, how long? I think I was off work for 6 months. Yeah. And it wasn't good. And, you know, like I got vision in the eye again and whatnot, but there's a big scar that runs through the center of it. What I've learned to do is look around that scar, right? I look above it, below it, and on the sides of it, right? I've naturally just learned how to look around it and overcome that. But, you know, it's still crazy. When I went and got my eyes checked there a couple months ago, you know, the doctor's like, can you see there? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, that's like the super thick setting. He's like, that's crazy. He's like, would you believe if I told you that this is what you're legally allowed to drive without glasses with? And I'm like, no way. He's like, isn't that insane? Like, he's like, there are people out there driving around right now how you see out of that eye. I'm like, no, there's not. No, man, that's crazy. Wow. Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. I don't think I ever really got hurt bad at work.
Well, you just stand there and tell people what looks good and what doesn't.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. Okay. I've had people wanting to hurt me with ball peen hammers and that. But
I bet.
I did almost get hit in the head with a golf ball. I was golfing. I used to golf a lot with my neighbor. And we were just talking about this the other day. I was standing on we were watching a movie on, or a TV show on, I believe it's Netflix. I'm not sure. But anyway, in this movie, the dad, in the first episode, he gets killed. It's a comedy. He gets killed by getting hit in the head with a golf ball at a golf course. And I turned to my wife. I said, you know, that almost happened to me. I was on a tee box getting ready to hit my tee shot. And I heard this thing go right by me. And when I went ahead and hit the ball, and my friends, they're looking at me like this. They go, that golf ball missed your head by that much. He goes, that would have killed you if it had hit it. I go, yeah, well, did I get a good drive, though? That was the point. No, I don't recall ever getting really hurt. Getting really hurt like that.
Yeah. I've been hurt a couple times, you know. Nothing like this. Nothing too serious. Just the eye. I had a piece of metal. We were doing to Mr. Pads, and I was under air, and we were putting them back in and cleaning them out and whatnot. And on the last few, they're like, you can take the air mask off now. All the chemicals have subsided. You can put on the half mask. I'm like, okay. So I put the half mask on, and luckily, this would have been fun had, you know, I had that air mask on. But, like, I was in a vessel, and the opening was, like, you know, it wasn't very big. Enough for my body to squeeze through. So we were putting it back, and the welders had been attaching like little handles to them all day, and they were poking through our gloves. They were eating right through every glove we had, and it was only a matter of time. On the last one, I picked it up, and it chewed through more than glove. It went in, what finger? So it went in right here, and it came out the top, and I knew exactly what had happened. I wrapped my hand back around it, and I Superman dove out of the tank. I somehow got out of the tiny hole. I ran over to the medic. By the time I made it to the medic, it had clotted up. And I had to go to the hospital. They had to check it. It was all good. I was in and out, right? And, yeah, so luckily, you know, stuff like that, you know.
Were you so what you do, are you in and out of a lot of confined spaces?
I was, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I hated confined space stuff.
I'm small enough to fit in it, right? I'm 5'4" and, you know, like 180 pounds. So everyone's always like, hey, man, you know, like you're small. You can go in there. You'll fit. And lucky me, I guess, right? You know, it's me. It's me.
But I used to do a lot of aircraft. So we'd be doing inspections on Boeing 737s, you know, for FedEx and that kind of stuff. And we'd have to X-ray the fuel tanks. And the fuel cells are in the wing. People don't know this. They're in the wing, right?
That's
there.
That's why when the wing goes down in a crash, the wing explodes, right?
Yeah. So the fuel cells are right there. And we'd show up. We got all these big guys, you know, we have these big guys, and it'd be that one little guy that's like about, you know, 4'9", 4'10", you know, 125 pounds. You know, what's this guy do? Oh, he's the guy that goes in there and sets the X-ray film inside the fuel cells. He's in and out. He's like a little snake.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That, what you're saying about that, you know, I was talking to somebody on an airplane, and see, this is what we do on my podcast. We'll jump from one subject to the next.
Hell yeah. I love it.
This one guy is talking. He goes, well, you know, the safest place to sit in an aircraft is over the wings. They go, oh, really? He goes, yeah, over the wings, because that's where it's more structurally sound than anywhere in the aircraft. It's right there at the wings. And I go, yeah, you do know that's where they hold all their fuel, right? Huh? Yeah, that's where all the fuel sits, is in the wings. You're sitting on top of a big bomb if the plane. I don't like planes. I used to love flying. I loved getting on planes. I was fascinated by planes. But that quickly left me when I started inspecting planes. I mean,
I like to look at the sunset over the wing. I don't care if the plane goes down, we are all dying.
Oh, they're beautiful. The planes are beautiful. I mean, the way they fly, the aerodynamics and the aero, you know, everything that's involved in making a plane fly is fascinating.
I fly out for work, right? So uh-huh. Like, I fly up north and I fly home for days off. We fly. I'm on a plane a lot, so I love sitting over the wing.
Oh yeah. You know, I mean, I flew a lot when in my work. I had to, because I'm going overseas all the time, flying across the nation. It didn't mean I liked it. But the reason I didn't like it was because the very first plane I looked at, I'm walking up the ladder to go into the fuselage, and the plane has been completely stripped. There's no paint on it. It's been stripped down. There's nothing on the inside. Nothing. It's just fuselage. And I walk through the door. I walked through the door and I walked through and I looked, I went, what? And I looked, I went back, looked at the outside, looked at the inside, and I went, is that all there is to the fuselage on an airplane? They go, yeah. Then I started getting nervous about flying. I remember sitting in a quality meeting with the Pratt & Whitney guys, and he's talking about their engines. And he goes, so what does everybody worry about when they're, you know, what's their concerns when they fly? He goes, I'll tell you what their concerns are. Are we going to take off on time? Is my luggage going to be in the plane? Are we going to get there on time? Am I going to find my luggage? You know, what's going on? Is the plane going to be there on time? Are we going to get there? He goes, you know what I worry about? I sure hope this engine holds together while we're flying. And I'm going, oh my God.
This is an airplane guy.
That's the engine builder. That's the worst thing. You know, you go, so I rest on the fact that all you guys are doing your jobs right, because I don't want an engine to fail while I'm flying. I'm going, yeah, the things people think about. Yeah. I had my inspectors, they get kind of discouraged because it seems to be in a rut doing the same old thing all the time. And, you know, I tell them, I say, you know, you got a real important job. You got a very important job here. I go, well, this versus being an actor, okay, or a recording artist, okay. If you're a recording artist and you don't do your job right, what happens? Let's run through that again. Let's do another take. Let's work on the volume. Let's do another take, and then you work on it till you get it right, right? They go, yeah. I go, you know what happens if you don't do your job right? They go, what? I go, the plane crashes. Now pay attention to what you're doing. I would literally do that. I had this poor lady. There's this lady. She was a penetrant inspector for me. And we're looking at aircraft parts, you know. And that's when the shuttlecraft blew up. The space shuttle, when it took off and it blew up on the launch, you know. And I went in and I go, Vicky, you heard about that? The shuttle blowing up. She goes, oh, yeah, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. I go, yeah. That's what happens if you don't do your job right and you let bad parts go through. I should have never did that to her, because she was stopped. She was rejected. I had to go back and go through. No, that's okay. Well, I don't want nothing blowing up on me. I laugh about it, but that's sick. I'm a sick person. That's what we did, you know.
Hey, man, you're blue collar, dude.
No, I am a blue collar guy. That's what I was telling my wife. I was saying, yeah, Dick's got this. He's tied into all these guys with the blue collar people, you know, in the mud, ground, you know, boots on the ground people. I go, those are my people, man. Those are my people. I never, in all my years of inspecting, I never felt I was better than the guy doing the welding. Never felt I was better than the guy that was cranking the bolts. You know, you can't do that. You got to respect people for what they do. And I'd have welders say, hey, you want to weld? Because no brag, it's a fact. I was a good weld inspector. I was a good weld inspector. Physically, visually, and x-ray wise, I was good. And nothing got by me. And these guys go, hey, so I bet you can weld, can't you? Here, you want to throw a weld down? You want to put a bead down? I go, I am the worst welder you will ever have. You don't ever want me to weld anything. I cannot weld. That's your job. You are very good at doing what you do. I just look at your work. I can tell if you did a good job or not, but don't put a stinger in my hand. It ain't happening. You know, I can't weld. But yeah, I learned to really appreciate the guys doing the work, the boots on the ground. When you said boots on the grounds to me today, I just went, yeah, man, that's exactly what it is, you know. I applaud those guys. I applaud the workers. I applaud all you guys out there, man. You guys are doing the job.
And we appreciate it, you know, sometimes a little pat on the back, so.
You got to. You should get a pat on the back. And if your boss ain't giving you a pat on the back, give him my number. I'll call him. I'll chew him out. Don't make me come do an inspector. What?
We're about to be interrupted here. My kids are coming home from the zoo, so I'm gonna we're gonna wrap this one up. But I like to finish the podcast up with one last question.
Okay.
Right? And so Mount Rushmore has four of the most influential people up on The Rock, right? When you look up there, you know, you see inspiration. If you could have your own Mount Rushmore, four people that you look up to, that you inspire to be or that inspire you, dead, alive, real, not real, who would they be and why?
Okay. Albert Einstein would definitely be up there. Albert Einstein would be up on that Mount Rushmore. My mom would definitely be up on there. My mom, she set the groundwork for me and my siblings. She just, she was the rock in the family. Single mom raising five kids. She's an RN. She was a nurse. She went to old school nursing, you know, where they come out of college, you got to go back to medical school, come out with an RN degree. She was like, she knew as much, if not more, than most doctors. I mean, she was just grounded. She was a grounded person. She taught us that the only difference between, you know, the only real difference in humans, the only color that's important when it comes to human beings is red, the color of blood. And when you see red, you want to stop it. You know, that she was a lifesaver. And so she taught us, you know, all this stuff about, you know, I don't think any of us have a racist bone in our bodies because of our mom. And she just grounded our work ethics come for our mom. You know, she's just a solid, solid person. Albert Einstein, because I'm intrigued by physics and I love listening to the guy. I did a little study on him. He was like a normal guy, but a brainiac when it comes to physics, you know. And now this might tick some people off, but also up on my Mount Rushmore would be Elon Musk. What the guy has done with SpaceX. Now people say, so you like Teslas and all this and that. No, I don't. Burn them and blow them up. I don't care. I don't like Teslas. I will never own an electric car. I want that big 1,000 horsepower gas guzzling monster of a truck. That's what I want. No electric stuff. But what he has done with space and SpaceX. See, when I was a little boy, I remember when the Mercury space program started. You know, they had the seven astronauts, John Glenn, Shepard, you know, these guys. You know, I remember when they were just getting into space. So I followed it all the way through Mercury, Gemini, Apollo, the space shuttle. I followed all this stuff up. And then when it kind of died off and left, and then here comes Elon Musk with SpaceX, and he's talking about going to Mars. Man, I was like, boom, oh yeah. And the things that he has done, we got rockets going up and coming back and landing. We got rockets going up and coming down, and the thing's catching them. I mean, it's just amazing. And one thing I've learned from Elon Musk is that failure is another stepping stone to success. Failure's not a bad thing. And
we said that in the podcast.
Yeah, it's not. It helps you grow. If you're not failing, you're not learning. And I remember seeing when he first started and he's having these rockets landing and blowing up. And I remember seeing him, a video of him out there at the debris where one blew up and he said, walking around with his engineers. The guy's got the biggest smile on his face and he's laughing and goofing off. And I'm going, that's not a guy that just lost a multi-million dollar rocket blowing up. And it was like, he was laughing. He goes, oh no. And then I remember hearing him speak. If we don't fail, we don't learn. If we don't learn, we can't go up to the next step. Failure is a step on success. So that's it. So that's three. I got one more to put on there. Who would it be? I think it would have to be B.B. King. The great blues artist, B.B. King. I mean, just his style, his music, what he gave to the music scene, the blues. I'm a blues fanatic, but I'm not a connoisseur. I don't know a lot about it, but I love the blues. I love the guitar playing and that. And B.B. King would be up there just because of, you know, he was around for so long, just created some great music. And really admired him and his guitar playing and his storytelling. Yeah, that'd be it. That'd be my four right
there. Hello.
Any of them shock you?
That's a great four. B.B. King, for sure. Elon Musk, not so much. I mean, the guy's a genius. Einstein, no, same reason. You know, did you watch Oppenheimer?
Yes, I love it. Yeah, yeah, I did. I watched that. Yeah.
See how they treated Einstein in the
movie? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Einstein wasn't really well liked. He wasn't well liked. You know, he wasn't well liked because people didn't want to believe what he was saying. You know, and they thought he was arrogant and all this and that, which he was. But he was still a normal. I thought he was a very normal person. He was a violinist. He played the violin. You know, and he was a womanizer. He loved them girls. He loved the ladies. But he was,
you know, smart. Right? He didn't. Huh? He knew the government wanted to use his genius and his what he knew in his mind as a weapon, right?
So he knew they were going to. Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think part of the reason he thought that too is because he grew up in Germany. He was in Germany when the Nazis were coming into power, and he saw all the evil and that was going on in the world. He saw it from a European side. Came to America, starts looking at the Americans and what's going on here, and he's going,
"They're the same people.
Same people. We're gonna make. They're gonna make weapons." And he was right. He was right. He's a. I just like the guy. I just like the guy. And people say, who would you sit down and talk to? If you had a chance to sit down and talk to, this might surprise you. They said, if you could sit down and talk to somebody, interview them on your podcast, who would it be, dead or alive? And I always tell them Clint Eastwood.
Oh, man, you better on that. You know, what I've learned, ask. Just ask.
And it's because I love movies and I want to talk to somebody that could tell me how they take an idea, put it to script, sell that script, turn it into a production, and make a movie.
Reach out to those people, man. You never know. They could say yes. The guy's like 95. Man.
I know. And look at what he's done in the movie and TV entertainment business.
What's your favorite Clint Eastwood movie?
Oh, man. I tell you, I can't say what's my all-time favorite Clint Eastwood movie because I like the earlier ones. I love the spaghetti westerns for a few dollars more and all those. I love those. I loved him in Rawhide, the old television series, Rawhide. And I like the middle ones like Play Misty for Me, Dirty Harry movies. I liked all those. I liked the ones when he was older, like Gran Torino. I love that.
Favorite.
And the mule when he was, you know, when he was older. I heard a story. I don't know which one of those movies it was. Another one of the old ones where he was older, that he actually sat on the script until he was old enough to play the part.
That'd be cool, man.
He wanted to play that part, yeah.
I believe that. Look what you hear about Sylvester Stallone in the Rocky movies, right? He wanted to sell that script, but he wanted to play Rocky. He had
exactly. It would never have been the same if somebody else had done it.
Yeah.
You know? Whether you like Stallone or not, that's a good movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's a good movie.
I think one of my favorite ones is Million Dollar Baby.
Yes. Right? Yes. That's a heart tugger, man. That tugs on your heart. That movie. There's not much to it. There's not, like they said, there's not a lot of meat in that movie. If you look beyond, if you look into the depth of the movie, there is, because he's dealing with this fighter that's paralyzed, you know. There's a lot. And who played the girl?
Swank.
Yes. All she did, I mean.
Wasn't it Hilary Swank?
Hilary Swank. And she made you believe that.
Yeah.
She really made you believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. My all-time, what I will tell you, my all-time favorite movies are, I love John Wick.
Oh, yeah. Number 4 is coming out on Paramount here right away.
I love those. And I love Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool.
I love the Deadpool
movies. Here's the thing with the John Wick movies, okay? They could have stopped at one. John Wick was done. You know, one movie, phenomenal. Don't mess it up. They made a second. It was like, oh, my God, how did they make this so good? Oh, my God. Don't do a number 3. Leave it alone. They did number 3, made it phenomenal, right? Okay, maybe leave number 4 alone. Don't do it. Don't mess with it. Made number 4. Perfect. That series is done now. Leave it alone. Do not mess with it. No. Come on.
They're making a 5.
John Wick died at number 4.
They're making a five. And the reason I followed a lot of the writing, the articles on John Wick and that. And the thing is they filmed most of five when they were doing four.
Oh my God.
So there's going to be a five. Yeah. I've actually seen a trailer. And they making you, they said, oh, I thought he was dead. Yeah, I mean, that's a line I saw in the trailer. Yaga.
Yeah. Bubba Yaga lives.
Yeah, yeah. That was just good movies. I love movies. I love movies. I love old movies. I love current movies. You know, I just love them. I just love them. I'm a fanatic. Sir.
Buddy, this was amazing. We're going to have to do another one because you and I, we're not done talking. So
No. Let's do it again.
Yeah, we're going to do it again, man. You know what? Thanks for coming on the podcast, though, man.
Thanks for having me, Dick.
Great, man. And I can't wait to talk to you again. I'm going to tune in. I try to tune in every Monday to your show. Something's always happening. This morning, I'm like, what time is it? I look. Like, oh, I'm making it in time. I jumped into the man's live stream.
It was great seeing you come in, man. I put a smile on my face.
Yeah, man. Like,
there he is, man. Yeah, there he is.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
Be part of it. So
I'll come back. I will come back and sit down and talk with you anytime. As a matter of fact, I will call you someday and say, hey, I'm recording right now. Let's talk.
All right.
And we'll do it, but I do want to take this and play it on my my podcast too.
Absolutely,
if that's okay with you. I don't want to. I mean, we both have a different area of listeners that I think deserve to hear us together.
Oh, 100%, man. And there we got a lot of the same people that we mingle with. That you know, they like yours, they like mine. And they know we both exist, and now we're together, right? So, you know, there's people that don't know each other exists, and there's people that know each other that, you know, they're going to be excited for this. So.
Yeah, and people like your buddies at the Second Act podcast. Some of my people will flow over and pick him up and listen to him, you know?
Listen, Gord is an incredible human being with an amazing podcast.
Okay? I'm looking him up.
An amazing podcast. Go listen to it. We've had a lot of the same guests. You know, different podcasts though. We bounce ideas off each other all the time, right? Like he's nearby me, like he's a couple hours down the highway here. There's not many times where we go more than a week without talking to each other. We give each other feedback on each other's episodes. We feed each other guests. Oh man, he's an incredible person. So
Dick, you have got a standing invitation to come on my show anytime you want.
Likewise, sir. You're always welcome to come sit upon the throne with me.
I'll come sit on the throne and dump a duke anytime.
A dookie. Yeah, we'll have a morning dookie. All right, brother. Thanks for coming on. And hey, old man.
Yes, sir.
You stay frosty.
I'm going to try, man.